You hear me?
I can hear you, man.
What's good, sir?
What's going on with you?
Thank you for coming and doing this. I know you didn't want to do it. Put your arm a little bit.
Good morning, man. Good morning. I'm here.
Yes. What'd you say you about to do today? You going on a trip?
Yeah, I'm going to the beach house with the lady.
See you.
Yeah. My boy's birthday was earlier this week. We went on a drive like up to Santa Barbara. And we noticed that Ventura's city of ordinance, you know, or stay-at-home order, actually was repealed in terms of beaches. So,
it was what? Say that last part again.
Ventura's, their city of ordinance, you know, like they have like their stay-at-home order.
Right.
It doesn't apply, though. They just repealed it, like I think last week. So people are at the beaches and whatnot, and can like they can
out there catch that fresh Rona.
Exactly. But the thing is, they said that you can be out there, but you just can't actually be standing like on the beach. You know, you can't just be sitting in one place. You got to be moving around.
Right.
And I don't know how much people are going to be moving around in 95 degree weather. So we'll see.
Is it supposed to be 95 today?
It's supposed to be like 95 today, man.
Yeah.
I know.
That's right when I put my AC unit in storage. But anyway, tell everybody about yourself, what you do, and then we'll talk about what you're working on that you're currently roping me into temporarily. All
right. Sounds good. My name is CJ Okoye. I'm an associate financial advisor at Northwestern Mutual. Help people build financial plans for their families and their posterity. I try to create dynamic solutions that will help individuals, you know, mitigate taxes while at the same time, you know, getting involved in the market, just because, you know, I feel like a lot of people in our community just don't have a lot of experience in the market, and just like a lot of negative experiences in the market.
Right.
People always talk about real estate, but there's more opportunities in the market. It's just all about, you know, trying to manage volatility and manage your risk exposure. But main thing I do, I'll say, is just education and trying to make people richer.
I feel it. Now, you've also gotten into another separate venture since the quarantine. And we'll get back to this because this is more important. But like, tell me about this other one that you're doing right now.
So we have See Me. See Me is a soon-to-be application that basically tries to match people. I love it so much, man. Basically, what we're trying to do is we're setting people on blind dates, and we're taking advantage of the fact that people just are stuck at the house right now. And we're trying to do an alternative approach like Tinder and Bumble by basically asking them to fill out a questionnaire. No pictures. You don't get a picture until you see the person during your first date. Have you done your first date, Anthony?
No. I was holding that over your head. I was like, we're going to do this podcast. Then I'll do it.
You got set up on a couple first dates.
Oh man, go ahead. Finish telling.
So pretty much we're trying to take advantage of, like, you know, the fact that people are just like in a very much more open-minded place just by being at home and just like having like less opportunities to like interact with the world. They still want to meet new people, and this app lets people take advantage of that for now, like, you know, meeting new people. I think what people grow to love about the app is the fact that it's not just a swipe left and swipe right. It's a thoughtful, I'm committing to like this process. I'm committing to like, you know, saying that, hey, you know, actually I might be looking for love. I might be looking for a pen pal. I might be looking for some type of romance. That's what I'm committing to right now. And that's why I'm on this app, because, you know, I think we can both agree that the biggest factor when it comes to like whether or not two people are compatible is timing, you know, and by people like, you know, coming to the app at the same time, you know, we're taking advantage of that time and trying to capitalize on it.
Yeah, no, none of that sound like me though. But I do think it's a dope idea. So if I can support, which I will by doing the bare minimum, what I'm gonna do.
It's all good, man. Because at the bare minimum, you're supporting me. But you know, the upside is you might find, you know, your partner.
You never know. that's a whole different. We ain't got time for that whole conversation. All the realization about dating. No, it would be good, but like, it's just, you know, I know we're short on time. But I've had so many realizations about me and dating and how like I can see my future and not see my future. It's going to be tough. It's going to be great, but it's going to be tough trying to settle down. Not even like on some bachelor stuff, but yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
I mean, it's all, at the end of the day, everything we're talking about is related because, you know, you're talking about it's going to be tough trying to figure out, trying to imagine you settling down. It's all about lifestyle, right? And I think just like right now, in this quarantine edition, I feel like we're more so even getting accustomed to lifestyle or even envisioning lifestyles. And like our lifestyles are irrespective of work because we realize how work can just be, who knows, like I can just not be working for a month or something like that, or you can be working but you're not in an office space, so therefore so you don't have the same work mentality, so therefore you're trying to manage lifestyle, and like lifestyle has now become more important, like the things that you do on a daily basis, what you're eating on a daily basis, who you're talking to on a daily basis, what you're reading on a daily basis, like just who, like
how you're feeding yourself.
Lifestyle do you imagine for yourself in 5 years, you know?
I was texting a friend and I was like, I'm not gonna say who, but you'll get the humor. And that's the person that braids my hair, or did braid my hair. I cut the hair off. That's a sidebar. It's gone. But okay. I was like, yo, who don't want to talk to people in the quarantine? I was like, yeah. I don't want to talk to nobody. Like, yeah. And that's when I realized, like, I'm older than you, but like, so mm-hmm. I got this thing where it's really like that J. Cole middle child. Like, yeah. I was born in a family where everybody was older. My parents are like almost in their 80s.
Yeah,
and I've always, since I was younger, I went to barber school right like a year and a half out of high school. I did some college, mm-hmm. and then I went. But I was always surrounded by, like, the women in my family were always 20 years older than me. The men in my life that I've always gravitated towards, mentors, friends, have always been years older than me. But, like, I have this, and the middle child reference, it's like, I have this young, I'm young at heart, but I got an old ass soul.
You do.
So I realize, like, but the bad part of it is, like, I realize how it is when men hit their 40s and their 50s. And like, mm-hmm. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, it's like, grumpy.
I am so, it is not, and I haven't even hit the grumpy stage yet, but I'm like, I remember one of my exes told me, what'd you say?
I'm laughing at the grumpy stage. Like, how no, you recognize it's coming?
Oh, that's going to be real. Because, like, whenever my nephew's around, he brings it out of me. So, like, I know what it's going to look like. I forgot what I was going to say. I lost it that quick.
Your sister's been younger than you. You being the middle child.
No. My sister's all older than me. But I'm saying like the thing where like I'm young at heart, but I have the old soul. But what I realize is, no. One of my exes told me years ago. She's like, oh, you're gonna die old and alone. And I was like, nah, you crazy. Because like when you hear that, it's just a knee jerk reaction. I'm like, nobody wants to do that. But yeah. I was like, you know what? Almost in the face of your fears, mm-hmm. thing. Like once you really like look at it, and if you plan for it financially and all that. I don't think anybody wants to die literally alone, yeah. but I'm like, yo, if I don't have to wake up to somebody every day, granted, I do think I probably will end up married and all that stuff, but like, if I don't have to, that won't be the worst thing, especially if you plan for it. It's like, okay, this is how I would spend, and also I think the drawback to wanting to be in a relationship is I've already kind of in my mind, was like, oh, I'm going to plan my whole life and my whole time as if I had all mm-hmm. thought of myself. And I think subconsciously I've done it just because you understand, like, some of the things that I want to do. Well, just, mm-hmm. the drive that somebody has to have and the determination to say, hey, I have a barber license in Omaha, Nebraska. I'm going to move myself to L.A. to get into film. And the things that you have to do and just the sacrifice and the commitment and all that stuff.
Faith,
and you don't find a lot of people that have those things. So I realize at times you always come to an impasse with people. Or sometimes there's people that are way more driven than me. So I'm not saying that, mm-hmm. that. But I'm usually not on the same page with somebody. So at some point, I'm always moving forward alone. So yeah. I think at some point you kind of get used to that, and sometimes you can get too comfortable with that. And I'm like, you know, and then you bring in the concept of always having conversation, having the benefit of wisdom of older men.
True.
I'm asking you this real 100%. How many men have really told you you should jump into marriage?
Yeah, none, bro.
every man, and especially the married man, like they're not. It's not that they're anti-marriage, but they're like, you know, when you're wait, and then when you're you think you're ready, wait some more. It's always that. Like, so it's one of those things when you put all that in a basket, and then you have all of the benefit of hindsight for men married and not, and they're telling you, you know, focus on you, get you together, wait on this thing. It starts to build up a I don't want to say insurmountable, but it builds up a bit of a degree of difficulty for mm-hmm. somebody to get in. So I'm like, eh. So you bring all that.
She thought she was taking a jab, and she just gave you a revelation.
Well, it didn't happen until years later. Like, the revelation didn't happen until years later, but oh yeah, she was definitely trying to give a jab. But it always stuck with me. I'm like, damn, nobody wants to be all alone. And I'm like, I could be alone-ish as long as I got, you know.
Yeah.
But that's a whole different thing. I'm not saying that that's what I'm shooting for, but that is a realization.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, like, because I've had that conversation so many times with women. The last girl that I really dated for years, like when we were in the barbershop, like she was younger, but she also hadn't been in a lot of relationships. So she was, even though she was older than most women when they get in their first relationship, she still had that a lot of the, like the not the, I won't say dreams, but like she had this vision in her mind on how relationships would be. And she did not understand why a man wouldn't want to rush to be married. I'm like, you know, but just trying to have that conversation, trying to have an honest conversation with somebody that you love and explain to them why it ain't the same for us as it is for you. And that's, and I think there's a disconnect even between like a husband and wife. There's probably a disconnect between like how they envision or their desire for marriage, how the man and the woman. Now, there are some men, like I don't want to speak for him, but like my nephew, I feel like he wants to be married, and there's nothing wrong with it. And there are a lot of men out there that want that, so I don't want to say that there aren't, but I think there's a much larger number that want to kind of slow walk that.
Yes.
And there are some that are running from it, but 100%. I just think that a lot, it is hard to explain that to them.
So, it is, and then I think our challenge too, and I'm trying to figure out how to better communicate, articulate myself and where I'm at. And I think just women I've engaged with, they naturally want to empathize with me, you know, they want to understand like where I'm coming from. They just want to understand where I'm coming from, like, and it's because they love me and I respect that, you know. But I think the challenge with that is like sometimes like it's hard for me to really articulate what it is, but it's like I know what it feels like, right? And there's some things that, you know, some angles or some opinions that she has, and I might not be able to understand it, but I respect it because I respect it for what it is. Like you explained to me, I hear the emotion behind the words. I might not understand it because it's not, I can't really empathize. I can not maybe sympathize. I can empathize in the same way. From that, I feel like their desire to empathize kind of enables them from just saying like, all right, you know, this is how he feels. It's not like a reflection of our relationship necessarily, but it's just where he's at right now in life. This is how he feels. We can still grow together. Maybe
the right one, I think that happens. But go ahead.
The right one, yeah, exactly. The right one, that's what happens. We can still grow together, and we can still build and do all that stuff. But this is just where he is right now. This is what he thinks. This is how he's thinking. And I think CJ, Anthony, maybe you too. I feel like we sometimes struggle to communicate certain things because we know that us talking about our feelings is just almost like it's more so an indictment on the relationship as opposed to just us communicating how we feel. And I'm like, man, I'm not trying to change anything. I think this is great. But, you know, you're asking me like, you know, how I'm feeling. It's just how I'm feeling. Like, I have no desire to move. There's no red flags. There's no need to infer. My love for you has dissipated. I'm still here. I'm still present. I still love you. But I'm just letting you know that this is just how I feel about like life and like just what I'm thinking, how I'm logicing, or how I'm rationalizing, like, you know, where I'm at and where I envision myself to be like in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, no, I have that problem too. But I think the other problem I have is also like, I've always been of that mindset that whoever I'm going to be with, and hopefully long term, they will be my best friend. So like my other problem is once I start to speak, I speak freely. So I'm just telling, but not in a bad way, but like I'm telling like really what it is. So like I got it then and I still get it now. I didn't like the problem, but I remember the problem with the last relationship is I would try to tell her, I was like, yo, this, like, and this is like a year and a half in, like, this may not be the time for us. It's not even that I don't think that we're going to work, but I don't think we're at the right moment maturity wise. Not that we even need to be with other people, but we got to work on us. And obviously, you know, at you get to a point where like you can say that, but then you always fall back in the same habits and you're not even doing those things. So one, try and explain that to somebody.
Yeah.
And then it was just, I don't go too much in detail, but like I've had that problem where like we also don't want to speak on things, but then we can be a little too candid at times. Like I remember the one thing I told her, And I can, once again, I can see how it could be interpreted, but like trying to be as real and honest, like I told her as like, because like I said, her coming from a different place and having like these visions that may not have always been in line with how reality is for a lot of people. I try to tell her, I feel like a true test, or not a test, but a testament to how a man really feels about you. I think if a man really loves you, he's going to want the best for you, whether you two end up together or not. And that's what I was trying to explain to her, because it was because we would have that conversation like, hey, yeah, this may not be the time. But then she's like, well, why do you still treat me this way? I was like, because I do really, really care for you. Yeah. But it was that thing. It was like, I'm going to, like, you know me, I'm pretty, you've seen me in social environments. Like, mm-hmm. I'm standoffish. I don't, you see me just like, I don't fuck with people. I don't. Yeah. So it's like, if I let you in, I really fuck with you. And I really want the best for you. Yeah. So just imagine, right, like, my significant other. It's like, it doesn't matter where we stand. I, like, as a couple, like, as a human being, like, I've let you in my heart. I want the best for you. So I'm going to try to give you that. But then that can create that disconnect, because actions and words may not line up, and then their interpretation along with their vision of something, which is, you know, like, we may say we don't want to move forward, but it's like, how can you be there for them as a person and not, you know, that's all different.
That's a Drake bar right there. You know that, right? If I ever loved you, I always love you. That's how I was raised.
Damn. Yeah, that probably didn't help it either.
At all. Every time I'm feeling some type of way and I listen to Drake and he affirms that feeling, like, damn, like, is she right? Like
she probably is. Damn, bro. So walk me through the process of this app real quick. Where can people find it, or do you have to, like, is it like one of those you gotta know somebody to get on the list?
Right now, you gotta know somebody, right? So because essentially it's not an app yet. Still in the beginning stages. I think the biggest thing is the person I'm working with. She's just a lover of love, you know, and she just likes magic.
Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. When I was reading these questions, I'm like, yo, this is like 6 to 9 months into the relationship, mm-hmm. when you said, now, like, okay, what do you, I'm like, yo, I don't know who wrote this. Why are you asking
me? Yeah, but
like, you can tell, like, that mm-hmm. their heart is literally there. You can tell, like, when somebody puts their heart into their work. Exactly. I'm like, yo, somebody put their heart into this questionnaire.
Exactly. The questions are very intentional. They're challenging. Like, I think it's just an amazing set of questions. Like, I know she just wants to make people happy. She wants people to find love. I think she's noticing patterns, like, within her friend circle, and then that, you know, she knows some patterns within her friend circle. She knows that there's a lot of great guys out there, a lot of great opportunities out there. She's just trying to, you know, connect the dots for people. And she just loves doing it. Like,
I'm assuming she's an amazing person, but she'd be the last person I want to hear, hey, we need to talk.
I know.
I'm gonna get talked into submission.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's my confidant right there. Like, and I talk to her. I talk to her about, you know, my situation right now all the time. Like, and she, mm-hmm. and she, it's like, I don't want to talk about my situation. She just pulls it out of me all the time. Like, just keeps on getting in there, trying to figure out what's going on. Well, what's really going on? Well, what's really going on? And just trying to peel back, like, the layers. And that's all. That's what conversations are meant to be. That's what love is meant to be. Like, whether it's from a friendship or, like, you know, a more intimate partner. And I think she just is well in tune with, like, with that side of love. And I think she just wants everybody to kind of experience and have that opportunity. So that's kind of where we're at. We have a Google form that we send around. You fill out the Google Doc. It goes to a number of matchmakers.
How does that process happen? Like, after we fill out the form, mm-hmm. as much as you can give us the secret sauce, like, what happens?
There's no
algorithm. I think you're expounding upon. No, I know, but just no expound algorithm. A little more on what you were about to say.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest part of it. It's just, there's no algorithm. It's not like Tinder. Right. It's not like, you know, who just matches you with, like, you know, friends of friends on Facebook, for example, and not. There's nothing like that. The goal is to take advantage of the people, like, within our friend group. So there's maybe, like, about 5 or 6, 7 maybe matchmakers right now. And essentially we just go through one by one, like, every single profile. And then
it was so hard to not just start putting random funny stuff.
Yeah.
I wanted to so bad. Go ahead. Because like I wanted to make the person reading it laugh because I knew somebody was going to see it.
And then it's funny too because I remember coming across your profile, like, but then we don't actually see the names on the profiles, right? Mm-hmm. So there's no names even like for us, because obviously we know like a lot of the people who we sent the Google Doc out to. So we want to have like the bias names. We just want to have like the facts of like who you are, where you are, and like what you're looking for.
Because you can just tell.
Yeah, exactly. I can tell. When I saw yours, I was like, okay, number 18, huh? I was like, this guy sounds real familiar.
So I was getting frustrated while I was writing. I was like, oh, man. Well,
yeah, I know.
Either I get real short, or I was like, I'm going to give a real long answer.
Yeah.
Go ahead. So you go through the process of the matchmakers.
Series of matchmakers. And then from there, once we finally have a match, we go ahead and we email them. Both of them, like, you know, their bio that they wrote down on the Google Doc. They connect via the bios on the Google Doc, and they have the opportunity, they connect via the bios that we send out via email, and then from there, they have the opportunity to enter a Zoom call with their partner or with their match. And if it goes well, then there's a post-date survey that says, hey, yeah, I want to continue talking to this person. And then if both of them both agree to that, then they both get each other's contact information, and then hopefully it's love from there.
I'm just figuring how I'm gonna stay in this conversation. Oh, man, go ahead. No, I'm listening.
It could be as short as long as you want to, though, man. So,
oh, yeah, it's going to be.
Your day could be 30 minutes, an hour. Who knows? Honestly, You gotta think about it like this. You don't know what she looks like. You don't know where she's from. You don't know what she does. All right.
No,
it's take you at least 20 minutes to figure out all that.
No, bro. You don't realize. Like, I'll give you a real quick story, then I'm gonna jump back to the financial stuff. I went out and like I was swiping and I matched with some girl and we were supposed to go to one of these movie premieres. Something happened and you got to fill out those questionnaires. Like, do you work in the industry? And I think she did work in the industry. We didn't know. Mm-hmm. But like we had spent 30 minutes waiting before, you know, you're waiting for those premieres, like first come, first serve, all that. Yeah. And like I'd had every conversation I could have, and like 15 minutes in, I was ready to go. So we couldn't get in because of the questionnaire, and we were supposed mm-hmm. to go somewhere else. And I don't know what it was. Like, I couldn't even go to the next phase. I was like, hey, let's, I had to make some excuse to get out of there. Like, I say that to say, like, I know I was having a conversation with somebody else. Like,
yeah.
Typically, I know early on, like, if I like, in the first meeting with someone, like, I've always been good. It's funny, like, I have all older sisters. When I was, like, in kindergarten, back then, they would put me on the phone with guys, and I would always tell them what the vibe was, and I would always be right. Like, I've always had the gift of reading people, and that's why. It's another reason why I'm really standoffish with a lot of people and only deal with certain people, because, like, I don't need to, like, go through that process to get to know somebody. I know really, really quickly if we're going to leave. May not even be anything wrong with you, but I know if we're going to vibe, if you're for me, if I'm for you, if it's going to work. So I'm saying, like, I don't really need 30 minutes. So that's why I'm saying, like, for me, it's going to be tough. Because, like, I don't want to be the asshole, or I don't want to be, you know, I'm not as worried about being an asshole. I can be an asshole, but I don't want to reflect poorly on what you guys are trying to do. So that's what I think about.
I think we have to stress test this situation. We have to stress test this app. We gotta put it through the fire, figure out what's good. Yeah, figure out what's good and what's not, you know, so we can make it better. You know, and obviously like, and you know, I think, you know, I mean, maybe you can come back on the show and tell us exactly how it went, and I'll be interested to know, because I think right now, you know, you are probably the most anti person who has actually filled out the Google Doc, but I think you might actually enjoy at least one of the matches that you haven't set up with. So,
all right, we might follow back on this. Mm-hmm. All right, so with your day job, which you're really focused on,
yeah,
all of that is very important right now. So, give me your take on just the state of everything financially and what people can do right now to take advantage of the situation and to put themselves in a better situation moving forward and maybe be more prepared for the next one.
I think
something always happens. Hopefully this won't happen, but you know, something always happens in life.
Yeah, I think this just comes down to like having your money in multiple buckets, you know, just like diversifying your money. Like the issue that a lot of people are just, you know, small businesses, a lot of people are facing right now is liquidity, You know, they just don't have like that immediate access, to cash, you know, or like if they did, it wasn't for 2 months, you know, with no income, or 3 months or whatever. That's just, that's not how long they kind of projected the situation to go on. So the best thing that you can do to kind of like, you know, kind of prepare for this is have a plan, you know, because you can prepare for this. You know, that's essentially what I do. Like our clients, you know, who call us when that, you know, kind of nervous and scared about what's going on, we show them, hey, you know, you have a plan. Now, we didn't plan for this exactly, but we knew there was going to be a market dip. You know, we knew like, you know, the market has been the best it's ever been. Interest rates have been the lowest they've ever been, you know, and like it's very, very.
We were due for a recession anyway, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, we just didn't know when it was gonna happen. We know it's gonna happen eventually, you know. And this one, this recession, it won't be too bad, because for the most part, it's not like, you know, the financial sector or whatnot. It's just industries like retail, which you would expect to phase out over like the next couple months, anyways, or not.
So let me ask you this, because you made a point that I don't think a lot of people may realize. In respects to like, we were in a recession in 2008 after the housing crisis, right? Mm-hmm. On a scale of 1 to 10, how bad was that? And then from where we are right now, how bad do you think this one is?
1 to 10, that was like an 8-9.
Okay.
8-9, maybe even a 10. No, I'll say 9. I'm just like, you know, every time I get the 1 to 10 answer, I never say 10. But I'll say I'll say it's probably like an 8-9. I'll say now it's probably like 4 or 5.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, that's a lot of people to know.
Yeah, a lot of great things. But a lot of great things came from like, you know, 08. I think the biggest thing that came from 08 was the Dodd-Frank Act. And pretty much the Dodd-Frank Act doesn't allow banks to go in and leverage their dollars like they were to the degree pre-2008. So before they were lending like, you know, like leveraging like 40 to 1, but then post-Dodd-Frank, post-Obama, it's now like 10 to 1. So, you know, obviously when the market dipped or whatnot back in like late March, when that happened, banks would have went in and started buying, and the market, you wouldn't have seen like the same like drastic dip as you saw like overnight. But banks couldn't do that because they're already kind of at their max limit. Okay. So that's one way. So it's like, we don't know, like, is it better, is it worse? I think it's still great that banks are having like healthy portfolios. They're managing like basically the world's dollars and whatnot. It's good that they're not, you know, stretching themselves too thin. But yeah, I think that's like a positive thing that we can look at and say, okay, this is not the same recession. You know, employment numbers, once people start making money again, once businesses start opening again, people start making the money again, like the employment numbers aren't going to, you know, go bounce back overnight, but maybe 50%, it might be like 50% rebound. That's what's projected to happen.
Where are we at right now?
6 months. Percentage. I don't know what the specific number is. I just know that the rebound number is pretty
ballpark.
Strong. Yeah. Excuse me?
No, I was gonna say, do you know ballpark where we're at for unemployment?
Right, I do not know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know you won't be out here misquoting information.
I do not.
So I know. So I know you don't want to give away the secret sauce. This is why you have people come in. But you said the best way to be prepared for something like this is to diversify and put your money in different buckets. Like, can you give people examples of different ways to diversify, different examples of where they could be putting their money, just the overview?
Yeah man. So high yield savings account, that's the easiest thing that anybody can do. If you just go to, like, you know, I'm not gonna Goldman Sachs, they have an account. It's like a Marcus account. It's like a high yield savings online account that you can put money in, and it earns, I think it's like 1.5%. I can't remember, something like that. Mm-hmm. You have Ally Bank, Discover, Capital One. All these banks have high savings interest rates, and that's just the easy place that you can like put your money in. It's like $0. You know, $0 now, you can open up the account. Right. It's like one star. That's like, so you have like your safe cash, your emergency fund there. Obviously, you can go to the market, but then within the market, you have equities and fixed income, and it's all just about having a balance between like different accounts. So obviously, your equities, you're gonna have more equities as opposed to fixed income in your retirement accounts, but then you might have less equities and less and more fixed income in your personal accounts, because you want those to be a little bit safer. You want to expose yourself to as much risk as your retirement account, because more than likely, your regular accounts that you have, like invested in the market, your non-qualified dollars, that money is going to be used, like, you know, to buy a house within the next 5 or 10 years. You just need access to that money if something were to happen. But, you know, for, you know, we're 30, we can't even touch the qualified money, the retirement money, until at least age 60. So it's like we have like a long ways out before that is even an issue. But obviously that's a problem for like our parents who are retired, who are on a fixed budget, who are, you know, who have to like take out required minimum distributions and things like that. So now then you have to just get more creative and figure out like alternative ways. But like I said, there's always a plan. I think that the easiest thing that somebody can do is like talk to an advisor. Most of the time it's free, you know, just like have a conversation with the advisor. They usually only charge like based off of like if something is inactive within the plan. But I think that's the easiest thing somebody can do is talk to an advisor, come up with the plan, or just do like a whole bunch of research yourself, come up with the plan. And once you have that plan, like have faith in that plan, we stand by the plan that we make for our clients. You know, we know that the best plans for them in their situations, and we're maxing out what they can, their savings opportunities. Like there's no client who had to stop necessarily just, except for our only clients who are really impacted that we have are our self-employed clients, just because mm-hmm. their cash flow is just so variable. But for the most part, our W-2 employees, even like the ones that got laid off, you know, or furloughed, mm-hmm. even them, we've created plans where they're fine in this event and they're going to bounce back and they're going to be able to resume their plan as it was, you know, pre-quarantine, pre-lockdown, pre-corona. So it's really about having a plan, sticking to it. People always kind of get, people always feel like budgets are limiting, but the reality is like, you know, when you know that I can spend, when you know that you can spend $1,000 on whatever you want every, like once a week, that's a great feeling. You know, that's a great feeling. Right. Like you don't have to feel shameful about it. It's like, this is your free money. This is your plain money.
And I think more importantly, to know that you can do that and there are no drawbacks to it.
Exactly.
It's like, I could, because anybody, well, not anybody, but if you got the $1,000, you could spend it. But like, oh, what am I taking from here? So that is the truth.
Exactly.
So, you know, it's like, so funny. Go ahead.
That's it, man. Just having trust in the plan and just realizing that a plan can be liberating as opposed to like constricting as people think.
Because you know me, like I am very, I think you look at all the career paths, the job I'm in now, and then the conversations we had about finances, I am very, I don't want to say anti, but like outside of the system mm-hmm. with my way of thinking and my approach to even finances. But like this showed me the importance of the system. Like even like paying taxes and then the role the government plays or having a financial plan. Because it's like the average American feels like, I'm not going to say, but I feel like a lot of the average people would feel that like America's too big to fail and, you know, nothing could ever really knock us off course. Like my little bit, whether it's voting or whether it's paying your taxes or, you know, investing your amount into a retirement fund, which is different, but it's like, oh, my little thing isn't going to make a difference in the greater scheme of things. But like now I was like, okay, I really see how.
Yeah.
These things play into things, even if it's like, you know, it's something as simple as like for the people that will get the whatever the check is coming in, like having filed your taxes and how that's going to make a difference even though the money gets misappropriated so much, but how like we're paying into a system that, because especially like when we're 30, we don't think about like we think about our parents for like Social Security and all these other benefits and all that, mm-hmm. but it doesn't affect us. But like this is the first time I think that regardless of where your age is, like paying into the system can actually benefit you regardless of who you are.
Yeah.
So just seeing that, but also seeing how fragile the system can be at times, and more importantly, how important, I feel like, of course, if I had the money, I would set up my own retirement account. But like I've always said, like I'm still at that age where I would rather invest in and bet on myself. But I now more so would love to think about all those things. Like I had some conversations with some of your counterparts about like creating budgets and all that. And it's, I still have to apply in my own way.
Yeah.
And I told a lot of people, luckily enough, a series of things happened late last year that kind of got me focused more financially, like on cutting expenses and like saving money and like budgeting things. So luckily enough, when this hit, it didn't like it wasn't like world ending, like world shattering, but I'm glad I was already on that track. And this is definitely like, I was already like in that mode where I was trying to build those new habits, but I've had the time and the motivation to mm-hmm. to accelerate a lot of those things. So yeah, I think that's why I'm glad you're here, because it's good to have somebody that actually knows some of those things to speak on it as well.
Yeah, man, 100%, man. I think, like I said, there's just so much value in a plan. I think people always think about, you know, wealth and whatnot, and just they don't realize that it's not overnight. It's a series of smart choices that you're just making, like, you know, constantly making like the smart choice, like just the prudent decision, like just always kind of evaluating opportunity cost. And at the same time, like, I recognize that it's a full-time job to do that, in my opinion. That's what I'm doing. It's a full-time job to kind of evaluate opportunity cost and, like, you know, look at a portfolio and see opportunities and figure out exactly what makes the most sense. But I think it's great that, you know, people just start taking like whatever, like small steps, you know, just change their approach to looking at their money. I think once you start just thinking about your money differently and trying to figure out ways that you can save, ways that you can budget, ways that you can plan, once you just get in that mindset, then you're just going to unlock so many opportunities for yourself. That's all it is. Just like you said, you enter that mindset, you're already starting to reap the rewards. You can start seeing it. You don't have a financial advisor right now. You don't have like necessarily like a legitimate like financial plan, but you have like an approach. And I think the approach is like the most important thing, like beyond like an advisor, beyond the plan. You have to have the approach, the mentality, just to be ready for that. And once you are, then
I have to say, I have to credit that approach to conversations I've had with a financial advisor for that.
Appreciate that. Yeah, appreciate that. But exactly, man. Like, I think, like, if you keep on with that approach, you're gonna see the results by yourself. Like, 100%. If you keep on with that approach, you just try to do something. Try to plan. Try to forget yourself. And then once you're ready to feel like, all right, well, I feel like I'm planning. I feel like I'm doing things. I kind of see a shift, but it's not necessarily the shift that I want. Maybe it's time for me to talk to advisors and see if I can take that to the next level if there's opportunity there. Mm-hmm. So.
All right, bro. I appreciate you. I know you got a hot beach day with the Roman. But no, I do appreciate you doing this, because I know you didn't want to do it. And I'm gonna do at least one of these blind dates, and I'm gonna dedicate a little bit of time, not a lot.
Man, I want you as much time as you're comfortable with, because at the end of the day, like, it's never by force, you know. I think we want to take advantage of the timing, and if the time is not right for you, this time is not right for you. Hopefully, CME is going to be around for a while, even post quarantine, and then hopefully, you hop back in. Obviously, if you already have your profile, if you want to expand on your questions, that would be great. That'd be fantastic, and we can come up with a with better match for you if the current ones don't work out.
Don't hold your breath. Text me any information, any contact info you want me to put in the bio, and I will put it there. And if you want to just say it, you say it now, where people can find you and all that.
Once again, see me if you need the Google Doc to fill out the questions, and if you are interested in potentially connecting with a pen pal, looking for romance or seeking a relationship, this is the app for you. We have people all over the United States. We also have a few people in London, France, Ghana, and Nigeria. So, you know, we're global, you know, we're out here. And I hope you guys all get to enjoy it very soon.
All right, sir. I appreciate you. Stay safe out there, and I will talk to you again soon.
Yes, sir. Take care, man.
All right.
Love.